I support the Second Amendment. I purchased a gun when I was a young man. I've been a hunter pretty much all my life.
Can I get me a hunting license here?
I'm not a big game hunter. I made it very clear. I've always been, if you will, a rodent and rabbit hunter, all right? Small varmints, if you will.
You better say your prayers, you flea-bitten varmint!
Now, back to Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi. 95.9 WATD.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk, and we want to thank Jeff Deal for joining us, as well as Dave Marciano, who we actually heard from. He apologizes for the bad connection, but we'll definitely try to get him on in the near future. But joining us right now, he is a state representative here in Massachusetts, looking for, I think he's looking for signatures right now, but he'll probably be looking for your vote in April 30th. I think we have Dan Winslow on the line. Representative, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks, Kevin. Thanks for having me on.
I'll tell you, it took some doing, but I'm glad we have you on. And actually, I think you're stepping out from an event right now, right?
We are. We're just hosting a thank you event here in Boston at Anthony's Pier 4. We announced this morning that we have collected just shy of 25,000 signatures by our efforts statewide, which is a huge, huge first wow. Step in a really a testament to our volunteers and the team that we've built up from the Berkshires to Barnstable County.
You know, Representative Joe Rossi here, you know, I did want to, I heard that you had gathered the 25,000 signatures, and I got to ask, you know, how did you get so many signatures in the time that you had?
We have 12 field offices for the signatures collection points. We've assembled in just 3 weeks a statewide field team dividing the state into regions, and then we augmented that field team with literally hundreds of volunteers that I've linked through Facebook and Twitter. I'm tweeted at Dan Winslow. So we had a really good connection already through the internet to be able to reach out to a lot of people really quickly to pull them into the effort, and it was a group effort. I'm very thankful for the volunteers.
Well, I got to ask you, and that is, how do you feel about the other Republicans who are looking to get into this race? You got Gabriel Gomez, and you have Michael Sullivan. You kind of speak to that. We got some opposition coming up on April 30th.
Well, I think it's going to be a good, spirited primary. There's going to be some good differences that I think we can define between us. My experience is in all three branches of state government. I served as a judge for nearly 8 years. I left that to join the Romney administration as the governor's chief legal counsel during the last fiscal crisis, and was part of that team that helped turn us from a deficit to a surplus inside of 2 years. And then I ran for the state legislature when Scott Brown was elected to the U.S. Senate. It created an opening in his old House seat that he used to sit in. And I've just was reelected this past November, and I've tried to build up a reputation in the State House as a fiscal conservative with an emphasis on jobs and the economy and creating opportunity for people in Massachusetts. And I hope to take that message down to Washington, both through this Republican primary in the 30th, and if I earn the votes of the GOP and independent voters who vote in that primary, take it to Washington on June 25.
Well, who's going to be joining us in a couple of minutes is he'll dovetail into your segment, and we'll have a segment with State Senator Bob Hedlund. He wanted to make sure that I extended a hello to you, as he's going to be our next guest in a couple of moments. Why not run for state senate? What is the appeal in the U.S. Senate seat, and that you feel that you could be able to do something down in Washington if you're elected?
Well, I've got a record in state government at every job that I've had of actually accomplishing something, and I don't hold these positions to have the jobs. I hold these positions in public service to do the job, and I think that that's the kind of a problem-solving focus that we need down in Washington. You know, Washington, everybody in Washington is content to just point fingers at each other, and the Democrats, we already know, are going to be offering up an entrenched congressman who's been there for years, doesn't matter who, it's either 36 years or 12 years, doesn't matter which, that are either part of they're part of the problem. And my feeling is, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And we're not going to change things in Washington by sending these same two congressmen down there expecting a different result just because they've moved from the House to the Senate. It's not going to happen.
What do you feel are the issues, whether it's for the primary, for the Republican nod, or for basically being able to be the one who is ultimately going to be the junior senator heading down to Washington.
Yeah, my focus has been jobs and the economy. Every child in America right now is born with their share of the debt and unfunded programs is $200,000. That's the same as being born owing a mortgage with no house to show for it. America is going to hit a tipping point in 2023 where the amount of public debt is equal to the gross domestic product. That's Greece, only worse. The good news is that we have chance, we have time still to solve this, to prevent this, if we take the steps necessarily to be fiscally prudent, to get our own house in order. And that's what I hope to do as a member of the delegation down in D.C. We need to break the monopoly, the one-party monopoly. We need to start having folks go down to Washington who have the ability to roll up their sleeves and get the job done. And I've shown that in every job that I've had in public life.
Good job.
No, I think it's interesting and fascinating that you have decided to run, because I think it's a big step for anyone at any level to run for a U.S. seat, whether it be a rep or a Senate. But what do you feel is one of the most daunting things that you're going to have to face being the first time, if you're elected, the first time being at the U.S. level?
Well, you know, it's like swimming. I mean, you know, whether you swim in 10 feet of water or 100 feet of water, the kind of skills that you develop, I think, are important in public life. I work well with people of different points of view. For example, I'm a social moderate, and yet I still have many friends and very respectful of different points of view on social issues, because my focus is instead on the many things that we have in common with each other. And we have so many more things in common as Americans than we do that divide us. And things like, you know, a good educational system, an economy that's not teetering on the brink of disaster, jobs. I mean, America functionally has a 16% or so unemployment rate if you include the folks who've given up looking for work or who are underemployed with part-time jobs because they can't find a job. So it's not right to not treat the jobs crisis as the crisis it is. We have to take all of our resources and get America working again.
I have to ask you, is what about finances? How important is finances? You look at the race that we saw in November between Elizabeth Warren and Scott Brown. Do you feel this is going to be something that, you know, that a lot of money is going to be spent on this particular race? Or do you feel it's going to be more conservative?
Well, you know, there's really two different races. The Republican primary is more of a grassroots effort. We're certainly running a different kind of a campaign, a positive campaign that focuses on the grassroots. That doesn't require sort of, you know, the mass media buys. In fact, mass media doesn't do you much good in a grassroots election. The broader election, of course, will require far more dollars for advertising and more of a, you know, a broad approach. But I believe that this is the only Senate race in the United States that's going on currently. So there'll be a lot of interest in this race. This race really can set the tone for what the Republicans can accomplish going into the 2014 and 2016 cycles.
Hey, Dan, Bob Hedlund here.
Hey, Senator, how are you?
I don't have to ask you this, but I will.
Just because he's Bob Hedlund.
Now, one thing, just on the political side of the equation here, we all expected, or at least those of us in the studio here, we talked about it as a topic in the past. We expected Scott Brown to run.
Mm-hmm.
I was convinced he was going to run. You have served, I think, as an advisor or as counsel to his campaign committee. Is that correct?
In the 10 race against Coakley, I was the lawyer for the Scott Brown campaign. That's right.
So my question is, did you have some advance notice, or were you just caught off guard as much as everybody else was in Scott's decision not to run?
No.
Did you get the heads up?
Believe me, if we'd have had a few more weeks or even a month of notice, I had hoped Scott would run. I thought he did a great job as our senator. I thought that the kind of balance that he brought to Massachusetts was much needed. And so the kind of a scramble that we had to do to build up this team so fast has been a real challenge. On the other hand, Bob, it's actually been kind of energizing because, you know, we have so many people who have just stopped what they were doing. They walked away from other jobs that they had to join my team and to just basically jump into this with both feet. And that's the attitude that I have. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to leave nothing on the field. We're going to just, you know, give it everything that we've got. And I've resigned, for example, from my law firm And I'm going to be putting in 18, 20 hours a day, 7 days a week, right to April 30th, and try to earn the Republican vote.
Well, one of your minions invited me to an event you're having tonight, but I'm in studio down here this evening and unable to join you. So I guess you're having a little get-together in Boston this evening. Good luck with that.
Thank you very much. We will raise a glass in your honor. But today what I wanted to do was to thank people because we have a room full of people across the way. You know, I think it's important to thank people for giving up their time and to taking time out of their days. I think, frankly, that, you know, when the volunteers step up, it's important for people who benefit from their efforts to say thank you. And I wanted to say thank you. That's going to be the tone of this campaign. I appreciate people who step up, who give their time, or if they can make a contribution to step up.
I have to ask you, and that is, what can, if people want to get involved with your campaign, if they want to donate, is there a website set up? Do you have a campaign office somewhere that folks can stop in and talk with some of your people?
Yeah, we do. The website's going to be going live very shortly. We have a splash page up that people can make contributions or to sign up online to volunteer. It's danwinslow.com, danwinslow.com. We also have the state headquarters is going to be based in the town of Norfolk, Norfolk Center. But we'll be setting up about 15 field offices across the state as we get up and running with the effort and really running a grassroots effort. You know, we're not going to be sort of the tea and crumpets Republicans. We're going to be out there knocking on doors, targeting particular neighborhoods, getting out the vote, identifying voters, and working hard every day.
Dan, can we get you back on maybe 2 or 3 weeks to catch up with you and find out where things stand?
I would love that. In fact, if people want to keep up with our mobile campaign, we're actually running a texting. If people can text Dan to 68398. Dan, D-A-N to 68398. And if you do that, on your mobile phone, you'll be able to get updates, new campaign developments. If I'm in your town, for example, you get a notice that I'm coming to town. You can join me and help put a shoulder to the effort.
Dan, thank you so much for joining us. And we'll definitely look forward to talking to you as we get closer to April.
Thanks so much, and Bob, great to talk to you again.
All right. Well, that was Dan Winslow, who joined us. He is looking for your vote, I believe, April 30th.
April 30th is the primary.
Right, for the primary for not only for the Republicans, but also the Democrats. We got Ed Markey, Representative U.S. Rep. Ed Markey, and
U.S. Rep. Lynch, who we've had on the program.
We've had on the program.